the area of God ordaining us before we were born, as we quoted from Ephesians chapter 1, that before the foundation of the world, God already knew us. And then God plans for our lives. So for today, we need to consider those concepts and have an understanding of how it means in order for us to flow in the way God wants us to flow to fulfill His plan for our lives on this planet. The book of Romans chapter 8, please. The book of Romans chapter 8. Now bear in mind that there are enough background verses that we have considered. Like in Revelation, how God, before the foundation of the world, that the Lamb of God was already slain. In the mind of God, all those events have already taken place. And Ephesians 1, that we were all known by God. We were all chosen by God. And even before the worlds were formed. And so there are many scriptures that talk about the foreordination of God. And one of the best passages to understand this is in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And the reason we got to consider this area, and today we're going to consider these three concepts together: foreknowledge, predestination, and free will. Foreknowledge, predestination, and free will. How they work together. In the book of Romans chapter 8, we are told here in verse 29 and 30, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Verse 30 is presents to us an order in which God does things. And so one of the things that we need to understand about predestination and foreknowledge is that foreknowledge comes before predestination. Otherwise, we will have the concept that if God has known everything and God plans everything, then we need to look very carefully and see whether, if God has planned everything, then what is there to choose? Things are just going to happen. But we need to qualify that. God did not plan evil. God planned only good things. There are prophecies in the Bible that says, my thoughts towards you are good. So God did not plan evil. But God knew that evil exists. Since the fall of Satan, it has existed. So God, knowing that it exists, and God planning a good plan in spite of the evil, is a different thing. So bear in mind that foreknowledge comes first. That means way before anything happened, God, because of His omniscience, His ability to know all things. Now, how big is our God? Obviously, our God is a great and mighty God. He knows all things before they happen. He can peer through the corridors of time and see all things from beginning to end. He even knows what is to exist even before it happens. When you take an apple and you cut it, you can count the number of seeds in that apple. But you cannot count the number of apples in the seed. Because if you take one seed and you were to plant that seed and that seed becomes an apple tree, you wouldn't know how many apples that one seed can produce. But God knows. God knows how many apple seed will produce before it dies. That's God's knowledge. He could look at it and know because He made it. He made it with our ability. And He knows the fall of man and the fall of creation. He knows the lifespan because of the fall. He knows the lifespan of every tree. He knows what is to happen. So that's how much knowledge God has. So if God is so powerful and He can see all things way before anything exists, He knows of every possibility. Now, this is only a mere grain of sand in the ocean, on the shores of all the ocean, but at least it gives us a little bit, tiny little bit of understanding. Let's say if you're a chess player, right? I'm a chess player, so let's say I play chess with you. A good chess player knows and has to anticipate what you're going to do. A good chess player is not just one who knows how to move and knows how to attack. Because as I play with you, I have to anticipate what you're going to do. Based on what you are going to do, I make my moves. That's how we play chess. I don't know how you play chess, but that's how we professionals play chess. So, we don't make our moves based on what we want. Nobody plays chess that way. You play chess that way, you sure lose. Because you don't anticipate what is going to happen. And you're just playing the moves that you want to move. And you ignore what the enemy is doing. So when you play chess, you play chess anticipating every move that your opponent makes. And the one who can or anticipate the best comes out the winner. Because if every move of mine covers every possible move you could have, then I would come up with a better game than you. Now, chess players don't think about every move. They think about the best moves that you could make. And anything outside the best moves, they know is going to be disaster for you. So when we calculate and we see, let's say, about 5 moves or 10 moves or 15 moves ahead, you got to visualize and see 5, 10 or 15 moves ahead and roughly see the possibilities. There's a lot of calculation. If you do the maths, right, after every move and you add another possible 5 moves, it keeps multiplying. So there's no possibility that any human brain will be calculating every move. We don't calculate all the possible blunders like you giving me your queen free or giving me your rook free or giving a free pick. We don't bother to calculate that, because if that happens, it's a showcase that we'll win. We could play with one eye closed, right? So we only calculate your best possible moves in your scenario. Then based on what your best possible moves are and the better we can see it, then we make our move. So if my move includes every possible good move of yours, I will come up with a better game and may possibly win. Usually win. So that being the case, expand it millions and billions of times of God. Would you think that when God does something, He did not anticipate your 1 million best choices? Think about that. Our God is so great, when He plans something, He would have anticipated your 1 million best moves. Even moves that you and I have not even thought about. That's our God. So that is why, when predestination comes, remember this, predestination comes after foreknowledge. So He did not plan for you to make you a robot so that you can only make one move. Right? You can only make one move. He did not plan that way. But what God does is when He begins to create and form a plan, He anticipates, okay, if let's say your name is Tom, right? So if Tom does this, I'll do this. If Tom does choose that, I will do this. If Tom does that, I will choose do this. If Tom does that, I'll choose. There will be 1 million possibilities. Plan A, plan B, plan C, up to plan Z, and it continues on. So we cannot use the alphabets because we run out of them after 26. So he used plan 1, plan 2, plan 3. By the time he comes, plan 999,000 on, and all the possibilities. That means, my friend, you and I can never run out of what God has prepared. He has his backup plan. Now, most human beings have a backup plan, right? But God doesn't just have backup plan. He has backup plans. The only thing is that whether you and I are in plan number 1 or plan number 666. Right, because of all the bad choices we make in our life. But whether you're in plan number 1, very rare does a person be in plan number 1. The only person that I could really confidently say yes was Jesus. Right. Rest of us, I don't know what plan number we are in. Right. You and I better pray that we are not in, you know, we are in a single digit plan. Right. If some of you are triple digit, praise the Lord. But God still included you. Isn't that wonderful? So, whatever number of plans, God has already predestined. So remember, predestination comes and anticipate. Now some of us say, really? Is that the way it is? Think about this. Right? Think about it. Just put that concept aside and think about this. How long has the devil, before he became a devil, his name was Lucifer, one of the worship angels. How long has he been serving God before he fell? You and I do not know the answer. Those are one of the questions we do not know. So you want to know, wait till you go back to heaven, ask God the question. Right? He can tell you. Could have been 10,000 years. Could have been, because the earth was not even formed yet. It could have been 1 million years in our measurement of time. It could have been 10 million years. It's unlikely that it has been just one day. Probably many, many eons. Now think about Lucifer before he fell. He had been with God, let's say, after 100,000 years of earth time. He has been with God. He has seen God to a certain extent. He has known God. He has seen how God works. He has seen how God planned. I mean, he has been with God, let's say, for 100,000 years in human time. He must have thought that he knew everything about God. When he decided to rebel, he must have an inclination that he could have overcome God. Isn't that correct? If he knew he was not going to succeed, he's not going to rebel. The only reason he rebelled is he saw the possibility of him replacing God. How can he think that way? Because he had thought that God was like him. He reduced God to whatever. I mean, he has accumulated 100,000 years, let's say, of wisdom. He thought he could anticipate every move of God. And he must have thought that he knew everything about God. And you know what is the worst thing? He must have seen and thought that he could make a move that God never foresaw. He must be. I mean, he must be smart enough to think that way, but dumb enough to also think that way. Right. He would not have rebelled if he knew he was not going to succeed. I mean, who wants to do it? Right? You know you're going to lose. So you wouldn't want to do that. He must have thought he got a chance to overpower God and become God himself. For a person to think like that, He must have thought that he knew everything of that person.